Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Thursday, January the 24th. It's about 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. Hope you join in as we review the State of the State address delivered last night by Governor Doyle to the state legislature and call in with your reactions and questions for all of our guests this hour. We'll hear from three different guests this hour about the state of the state of Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Last night, the governor said, "Our nation finds itself at a time of great uncertainty. America's economy is in deep turmoil. In just the last few days, markets around the world have plummeted, and talk in Washington has turned from recovery to recession. Make no mistake, challenging days are ahead."
Because of the national economic slowdown, we too will face a difficult fiscal situation. We will have to delay some of the things we all agreed on. We will have to make deep cuts and hard sacrifices.
We will talk about how difficult a situation, fiscal situation, Wisconsin is in, and what the governor proposed last night in his State of the State address to help ward off a recession. And again, we will welcome your thoughts and questions for all of our guests as we get reaction and analysis of the state of the state. Joining us first, Jack Fisher, Wisconsin's Secretary of Commerce. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us. We had invited the governor to join us for this hour of the program, and his office said he was unable and recommended you. So thank you so much for being with us. How about telling us how difficult a fiscal situation Wisconsin is in right now?
Well, Joy, the governor's initiatives, I've pointed out last evening that, these are challenging times and challenging days. But the governor has put together a number of initiatives that we're promoting and working very hard at. They are really focused on four specific areas, mm-hmm. and I'd love to share some of that with you.
Yeah, I know that he did talk about a number of tax breaks or incentive programs. Go ahead. What are they in a nutshell?
Well, Governor Doyle's initiatives that we're promoting are really a Grow Wisconsin theme. They're focusing on important elements to help the economy move forward. Our next generation manufacturing plan. The governor has really put together a program that's ensuring that we have the highest quality products and promote the highest skilled workers in that effort. And this next generation manufacturing plan is going to continue to allow the Wisconsin manufacturers to adopt the leaner methods of production and really continue to promote the partnerships to educate our highest skill workers. And there are a few points that I'd like to just touch on this next generation manufacturing piece. The first is to expand the Wisconsin Manufacturing Extension Partnership. We're going to be supplementing with the governor's support $1.2 million to expand the number of Wisconsin manufacturers working to get involved in the lean improvement programs. This is really critical, and many, many small and mid-sized businesses continue to evolve and improve their program. The second piece is to assist the small and mid-sized manufacturers to adopt lean practices and diversify their production. So the governor has promoted $750,000 of investment in this area, and this will allow us to leverage an additional $500,000 in federal money to promote these lean practices, which is very critical for our businesses in the state.
Yeah, what is a lean practice?
Well, examples include companies that have, here's a specific example. LaForce Hardware up in De Pere in the Green Bay area is an integrated producer in the construction industry. It provides a lot of hardware operation. And they had taken their operation to a point where they started to grow and expand and felt that they were getting to a point where they wanted to reduce significantly their lead time for their construction suppliers. So they came and they worked with Commerce, and we helped them develop a lean initiative, supported that funding, And the leadership there has informed us that, you know, it has made a significant difference for their company, both in terms of their overall commitment to profitability, the time that they've been able to reduce. They've basically cut their time and cut it in half as they've looked through their product development to their customer. And this is all based on lean evaluation and working through the process of improving their actual process inside the company. So the end result was a couple $100,000 of additional efficiency improvement and a significant amount of additional profitability. But more importantly, they cut their time almost in half in terms of delivering their integrated product to their customer base. So that's kind of an example as to how this is used.
Yeah. Now, we've heard from a number of guests already this morning, including Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch and others, who are saying that Republicans in the Assembly are looking forward to working with the governor and Democrats in the Senate in getting a lot of these various incentives and tax break programs that would help manufacturing, agriculture, and other areas. So it looks like the Republicans are happy to have this happen, and indeed some of this is already happening, correct?
Yes, that's true, Joy, and it's really a great thing to see during these challenging times that with the governor's leadership and discussions, both the Democratic and Republican side have come to rally for the state of Wisconsin, and it's just a fantastic thing to see how some of these initiatives like this next generation manufacturing tax credit is being supported and these programs are being supported from both sides. It's critical. Like this next generation manufacturing tax credit, Joy, is really to streamline five of the different economic development programs into one to continue to help us in training and creating jobs for the state of Wisconsin. A priority really in this area is to promote innovation and to accelerate new investments in businesses for Wisconsin.
Yeah. And what does this mean to the average resident of the state of Wisconsin?
Well, it's critical. You know, there's some good news even as a part of these challenging times. If you take a look for the average person in the state and they see some of the conversations of the past year under the governor's leadership, you know, Wisconsin exports have actually increased 15% to a new record of over $17 billion out of Wisconsin in 2006. That compared to about a 14.5% national increase. We've been really fortunate in the Wisconsin dairy export area that they continue to increase tremendously from, I think, over $60 million in 2006 to over $127 million through the three quarters of this year. And Wisconsin firms continue to get involved and raise more venture capital in 2007, approximately $88 million since 2001, according to some recent studies that I had a chance to look at. And in 2006, the total to date is over $75 million. So you can see the significant increase that a number of these initiatives are having, which ultimately, you know, is great for jobs, for stability, and for growth for our businesses during these challenging days.
Yeah, I want to bring in a caller who has a comment about something the governor talked about last night. Brian in Boscobel. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh. Hi, I'm on.
Yes, okay. Just talking to the telephone.
Okay, I'm calling to talk about the smoking ban.
No, you didn't want. That's not what you told our producer you wanted to talk about, Brian. He wanted to talk about wanting more ethanol plant developments, and I wanted to have you talk about what the governor had to say about creating more renewable energy in Wisconsin.
All right. Well, that's fine, Joy. Happy to talk about that. As a part of the initiatives, you know, we are really looking to seize the opportunity around the renewable energy piece. There's a number of initiatives out there that are working on expanding and looking at the whole bio area, the conversion of some of our mills, looking at growing and investing in this bioeconomy is critical. The new bioeconomy really holds a lot of opportunity for Wisconsin and for the people in Wisconsin to really discover the renewable technology to create these high-end businesses, which do become high-paying jobs. Wisconsin's put an initiative together under Governor Doyle's leadership to invest $150 million over the next 10 years in renewable production, and business promotion. What this will do is it's going to provide a new tax credit for the biodiesel fuel producers and support initiatives like the Great Lakes Bioenergy Center. And these are very important initiatives. It's a part of keeping our competitive business climate and really growing Wisconsin. That's a big part of the governor's programs to carry these four major elements continually to the business sector.
Yeah. I know we only had you scheduled to be with us for the first few minutes of the program. Anything else from the governor's State of the State address that that you feel is important to note during the program?
Well, I just appreciate that opportunity. You know, the four specific areas are to ensure that Wisconsin remains a dairy and egg leader, to ensure that we're dealing with the highest quality products and make sure that we're continuing to develop our highest skilled workers. We really have a number of programs that are put in place to foster the research and development for the manufacturers and continuing businesses. And lastly, our Accelerate Wisconsin program is set up to support all the new Wisconsin business ventures, which include our success on the Act 255 tax credits, doubling the funding for Accelerate grants and loan programs, creating some capital gains reinvestment initiatives, and making sure that we continue to accelerate the Wisconsin tax credits to help our companies grow and prosper.
Yeah. One more call, actually, who maybe will actually talk about ethanol, since that's what he... Jack and Madison, go ahead.
Hello. Yes, I don't think that ethanol is really a winning proposal for our state. We do have a lot of farmers here who are growing corn and other products that are turned into ethanol. But, you know, when we get involved in this, that cost is being offset into the price of food. And I don't think that the poorest people in the state should have to pay the price for others to fill up their tanks.
Yeah, governor talked more about renewable fuels, not just or exclusively ethanol. Isn't that right, Jack Fisher?
Yes, that's very accurate, Joy.
Yeah, so like, what you want to talk about that a little bit more?
Well, the programs in the whole new bioeconomy, you know, include a number of initiatives. A part of them is what the caller had mentioned, but also, you know, the renewable energy piece is including, you know, the wind energy component for our state. We're dealing with a number of different manufacturers and foresters to create these renewable energy and renewable programs. And a part of that has been this new challenge that's been initiated by the governor to work towards 1 billion gallons, you know, of additional renewable fuels through a number of these new tax credits for the biodiesel producers, and working on expanding the availability of that through, you know, the additional pumps and the like throughout the state. So there are a number of initiatives, and as a part of this funding and granting, it is to continue to stimulate the creative piece and the entrepreneurial side of our businesses to continue to come up with high-end businesses and high-paying jobs.
Yeah. What to talk a little bit about the governor's proposal when it comes to making health care more affordable, especially for small businesses in Wisconsin?
Well, the governor has a strong program about developing and helping with the small and medium-sized businesses that are a part of the whole health care initiatives throughout the state. It is a complex area, and the governor's put a program in place to continue to address that. And it is, you know, an important element to tying our continuous economy together and to move forward with these initiatives. But it is also a very complex topic, and it's probably an opportunity to have another whole discussion in that regard around healthcare with some of the leaders in that sector.
Yeah. So, I guess as the Secretary of Commerce in Wisconsin, what's your assessment of the state of the state?
I think it's exciting. It is a challenging time, but these four primary initiatives, when I talk to a number of businesses and their leadership and the employees, they are really searching for the continued support of a number of these programs. And they say that they add value, and they really are right on line with what will support their growth and will help us from an economic perspective throughout the state. So I'm thrilled to be a part of it and quite excited to help carry out the message.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Jack Fisher, Wisconsin Secretary of Commerce, talking with us about what the governor had to say last night during his annual State of the State address. We will get more reaction and analysis in just a moment, welcoming in a Republican state senator, and a little later in the hour, the Democratic Senate Majority Leader. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your questions and your analysis of the state of the state. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up this afternoon during At Issue with Ben Marins after 4, Ben will welcome in political scientist Joe Heim to recap last night's State of the State address by Governor Doyle. So more recapping and analysis of the State of the State this afternoon during At Issue after 4. We've been doing that analysis and recapping all morning long with political scientists and lawmakers and the chairs of our Republican and Democratic parties in Wisconsin, and we continue that exploration this hour. We will welcome in now Ted Canavas, Republican State Senator from Brookfield. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being with us. We talked to you not so long ago, but I wanted to ask you, the governor started out by saying that we're facing some very challenging days ahead, and that Wisconsin's economy is being affected, as all of the states in the country are being affected by the downturn in the national economy. How serious of a fiscal situation do you think Wisconsin is in?
Joy, I don't believe that we're in a recession yet. I think where we are is we're very vulnerable to one. And I think that vulnerability is due to three things, really. One is our over-reliance on two pieces of our economy, agriculture and manufacturing. Second, we have not done a very good job, in my opinion, of managing our finances. We have too much debt. We have a deficit that's looming in our state budget. And then the third thing is that we're, you know, as a state, simply not attracting the kind of talent into the state that we need to create high-growing, faster-paced-growing companies. So from my perspective, last night's speech by the governor was excellent in terms of business, you know, whether it's expanding angel credits to small companies that are starting up, reinvesting capital gains in Wisconsin companies, or the R&D tax credit plan. All of those are wonderful pieces for Wisconsin and for our long-term success.
Well, indeed, didn't those pieces come out of your playbook?
Well, as a matter of fact, they look super familiar. There's no doubt about that, Joy. We came forward with a plan back about a year ago called Invest Wisconsin, and all of those pieces were in there. And the governor's take on them is very similar to ours. So we're looking very forward to working with the governor and working with Assembly Republicans to push forward this plan. The key thing, and I think he's going to be a guest soon on your program, is Senator Decker, and seeing if Senator Decker is willing to work with Senate Democrats to bring these in front of the state Senate so we can be in a position to pass them out and get them to the governor for signing.
We certainly will ask him that when he comes on. I know he'll say that they're certainly going to take a look at them. What benefit do these various tax breaks and incentives have for the state of Wisconsin? If they pass, what does it mean?
Well, what it means is we're going to get younger and wealthier as a state, because what's going to happen is all of these plans have a chance to really build and expand not only existing businesses in Wisconsin. Things like the R&D tax credit helps do that, capital gains reinvestment helps do that, but also expanding the number of companies that we're starting that are going to be attracting people, attracting talent from other states. You know, we're, Joy, a net exporter of smart kids right now. You know, we export our smart kids all over the country, all over the world, after they're educated here in Wisconsin, and the ability for us to keep them home and producing resources and products and services here at home is really important to us, not only economically but socially as well. Because once you have a society that values production and values, you know, smart ideas and looks forward to you know, getting up every day to create something new, that is a fabulous kind of innovative economy that people want to be a part of. It's the same thing that's happened in, you know, California and the Silicon Valley. It's the same thing that's happening in North Carolina, the Research Triangle, and other Austin, Texas, other places. And, you know, because of our great university system, we have an advantage and we need to leverage it.
Yeah. So will these various programs, tax breaks, incentives ward off a recession in Wisconsin?
I think what they'll help do is help companies refocus on how they can make it work here. For an existing manufacturing company, and there's an example in my own district, you know, a company currently thinking about either expanding some plant, and I actually spoke to Jack Fisher about this yesterday, a company that is thinking about either expanding in Waukesha County or taking some incentives from another state and moving. These kinds of efforts, when you're talking about R&D tax credits, capital gains, kind of shift their focus away from what's wrong with Wisconsin to what Wisconsin is becoming. And that change in focus helps them kind of recenter their debates about short-term decisions, about hiring decisions, about retraining decisions, about all the things that can help us grow in the short term today. So I'm excited about these initiatives. But again, the key thing with these kind of discussions, Joy, is getting it done. And, you know, I've been very direct with the governor and his staff, as well as having discussions with Senator Decker and others, that the most important thing that we can do here is to accomplish what the governor set forward last night. Mm-hmm. We have to actually do it. We can't talk about it and then disappoint these businesses when they say, look, Wisconsin can't get their act together. You know, they can't work in a bipartisan fashion. You know, there's not enough strong leadership coming from the governor on these matters. And suddenly, you know, it changes their focus away from what we do in the short term in Wisconsin to what's our long-term objective and is this the best place for us to be.
A couple of callers for you. Tom and Sobiski. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My question and comment is everybody talks about tax breaks for businesses. I'm talking about the regular taxpayer. Combined income of approximately $140,000, $160,000. I've been paying the same taxes for high Wisconsin taxes since I've been here. That's also a deterrent for people to live here because you also have heating bills and all sorts of other things. So what are we going to do for the taxpayers, not just business? Because we also spend money.
Yep, that's absolutely true, Tom, and you're absolutely right. And part of my Invest Wisconsin plan was an income tax cut for people that are just like you. The problem that we have is split government. And with split government, you have to kind of put together policy objectives that you know are going to be adopted by both parties moving forward. The Democrats in the Senate especially have been very focused on things like minimum wage and, you know, corporate reporting of taxes and things of that nature, which truthfully doesn't tip us toward kind of a pro-growth kind of set of policies that are going to help us grow 5, 6, 7% a year. The Department of Revenue yesterday said that we're going to grow about 1% as an economy this year. You compare that with China growing at 11%. Even economies like Vietnam is growing at 7, 8, 9%. And, Tom, your wages aren't going to go up if the entire economy is growing 1%. And I agree with you. I believe that we do need to reduce the amount of income tax we have in the state, and I think we've got to do something meaningful to cap property taxes over the long haul, because those are the two biggest chunks that come out of your paycheck.
Karen, Lafayette County. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I also am not a farmer, and I don't benefit from all these wonderful tax incentives and credits that seem to be big on the governor's agenda. What I am is a senior citizen. I am above the, would you say, the minimum help level, but I am not wealthy. Property taxes are killing us. We can't. We are to the point where we can't afford to continue to live in our house.
Right. Yep, yeah. I agree, Karen. That, you know, as I said when Tom called in, you know, there's no question that the two pieces that we've got to fix, one is, you know, the amount of tax that we take from property taxes. It's our tax system is way too tipped toward property taxes. And what we want more than anything else is for you to stay here for a long time because, as I say in all the speeches I give about the economy, we've got to have three generations in this state pulling the wagon. In other words, we need people who are like Karen, who are senior, who, you know, whose experience and value that they can provide to our community comes from kind of helping lead the way. You know, people like myself who are in the middle of their earning years, you know, working hard, paying taxes, and children being well-educated so that we're in a position to offer them opportunities in the future that they can take advantage of and create more value for our state. Those things have to happen. And she's dead right that, you know, our property taxes are too high and that we need to do things that are meaningful that reduce them long-term so that people can stay here.
Yeah. Yeah, if we reduce property taxes, what happens to education spending and the quality of education in Wisconsin?
Well, I think that taxes, you know, because, and you point to something that's really important, Joy. I mean, we put so much pressure on the property tax for education as well as local municipal services that, you know, it really becomes a question of, you know, do we cut services or do we reduce taxes? I think there's wonderful efforts underway that are talking about reformatting Wisconsin's entire tax policy, which would lead to a discussion around what role should sales tax play in this? What role should the income tax play in property taxes? Do we change the mix and make it more tipped towards economic growth so that the property tax is reduced and we do create a better opportunity for keeping people here? You know, so many people have said to me in my district, you know, I'm moving to Florida because I don't want to pay, you know, this kind of property tax over time, and truthfully, they don't have an income tax there. And so we've had this net out migration of smart kids to companies that are offering them great opportunities around the world and our senior citizens. So we've kind of, you know, chopped ourselves off at the high end and at the beginning level of entering the workforce, and suddenly, you know, it's just us in the middle that are trying to make this thing go, and it's not working.
You know, the governor didn't go into any great detail and said this would be a part of his budget next year, but that teachers in Wisconsin are not paid as much as teachers in most states. I think he said, I don't know, starting teacher pay in particular, and that something has to be done to hike teachers' salaries in Wisconsin. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I think that when you take a look at compensation for teachers, you have to look at total compensation. When you do that, the governor's statistics are correct about starting pay. However, when you take a look at the total compensation for teachers, including their benefit packages when they retire, there's no question that Wisconsin's teachers are right in the middle of the mix in terms of compensation. I have been a longtime supporter of merit pay. If there's one way that we can do something for the best teachers that are encouraging them to continue to advance and grow their skill sets, I think it would be merit pay. And I think that would be something that both parties would look at vigorously to see if there's a way to create better compensation for teachers that are performing at a high level. But I think that overall in total compensation, Joy, if you want to really be honest about it, total compensation, we're right in the mix.
And let's get your reaction to the governor's call for more compensation for minimum wage workers.
Imagine trying to clothe your children, pay for college, or buy groceries on $260 a week before taxes. We can do better, and we must do better. Wisconsin's minimum wage now ranks 40th in the nation. Let's support Majority Leader Deckard's efforts to raise the minimum wage to help nearly 230,000 Wisconsin families who are trying to get ahead. Thank you.
So, Senator Canevas, are you going to get behind that proposal?
Well, I think the minimum wage debate is one that always stirs a lot of passion. But if you take a look at it, Joy, you know, we're going to be moving right along with the federal minimum wage, and that's going to move up into the $7.50 range, I believe, by the end of next year. So, I mean, over the course of the next 12 months, is this going to affect, you know, 230,000 Wisconsin families? I think the governor's statistics are inflated. If I remember correctly, it affects effectively 75,000 people out of more than 2 million plus people working in Wisconsin. I think it makes great rhetoric to talk about the minimum wage for Democratic politicians, but truthfully, if we're debating and spending all of our time talking about the minimum wage, we're not going to be moving the ball on the bigger questions. And the bigger questions are, how do we grow Wisconsin's economy so that it grows at such a pace that you can't afford to hire somebody at the minimum wage? Isn't it kind of counterintuitive to say, let's, you know, focus on the bottom end of our pay scale instead of saying, how do we create an environment for growth where nobody can afford to hire somebody at the minimum wage because the labor market has increased at such a pace that you know starting wages are in the $9, $10, $11 range. That's what's happening around the rest of the country. It's not happening here because we haven't paid attention to the big picture.
Yeah, let's get your reaction to the governor's ideas about health care reform.
Our economy, our businesses, and our families need health care reform that draws from the best Democratic ideas and the best Republican ideas. A plan that gives our small businesses the relief they need and gives Wisconsin families the peace of mind they deserve.
You like that idea for the pool for small businesses, Senator Canivas?
It's very intriguing. You know, what one of the things that we're going to look at is what does it mean in terms of the government's participation in that? I think, Joy, when you're looking at health care, and, you know, we've spent a lot of time on this issue in my office and around the legislature, but the key thing is that I don't believe people are prepared to have their health care run by the government. And the reason is because this is the same government that, you know, and we talked about this last week. These are the same people that can't figure out how to not print Social Security numbers on the outside of envelopes. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a responsibility to understand what this proposal means, to really get an understanding from the business community to make sure that it's going to be workable, and that's what we're going to be doing over the course of the remainder of this week, is really learning more about that.
Yeah. He did not bring up the Social Security goofs in the State of the State. You didn't expect him to, though, did you?
Well, you know what? The State of the State address for the governor is the time to stand up and wear your best suit and, you know, say mm-hmm. the best things you can say about the state and the administration and what you want to do in the next year. But, you know, these State of the State addresses, and you remember this well, I mean, a couple of years ago, his State of the State was dedicated to you know, the phrase, you know, we must not, we cannot, I will not raise taxes. And then in the next budget, he raised taxes 42 different times.
Oh, but so, I thought he just raised the cigarette tax.
Well, no, in the budget that he mm-hmm. put forward, he had initiatives to raise taxes in 42 separate taxes. At the end of the day, after negotiating with the legislature, it did come right down to the cigarette tax and some fee increases around transportation and licenses and things of that nature. So, you know, the bottom line is that these are wonderful speeches, but as you know, Joy, you know that you got to walk the walk. You can't just give a speech and then set it down and say, okay, now we're going to go about, you know, same as usual. And Wisconsin, you know, our biggest problem, Joy, is that status quo rules here, and this is not the time for the status quo. We have a responsibility to do some things that are going to move Wisconsin forward. And I agree with the governor in the vast majority of his initiatives that were in this speech last night. But, you know, we've got to make it happen. We've got to have the political will and exert the kind of leadership necessary to get everybody pulling forward and pulling the wagon together.
Yeah, the governor mentioned that since the price of cigarettes went up on January 1st, 20,000 people have called our quit line. Ready to kick the habit. He also, in his speech last night, talked about the workplace smoking ban.
Wisconsin right. should not become the ashtray of the Midwest. I'm telling you, if Ireland and California and New York and Illinois and Minnesota can do it, Wisconsin can do it. And it is time to do what's right and make all workplaces completely smoke-free.
So do you think that'll happen?
I think this year it's going to be tough to get the smoking ban completed because Senator Decker and Senator Breske have said that without a compromise that includes some pieces that Senator Breske's put forward, that the bill will not be coming to the Florida Senate. That's a great question for Senator Decker, actually. I'm not in a position to schedule that bill. In terms of quitting smoking, you know, I think that's a great idea. mm-hmm. And I hope people individually, you know, make that decision because not only is it bad for your health, it's expensive. And I think it's, you know, a really good idea not to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, he also renewed his call for mandating insurance coverage for treatment of children with autism. What do you think?
Well, I think it's very important for people to realize how expensive it is to try to be a family that goes through the process of trying to raise a child with autism. I used to serve on the Elmbrook School Board, and every time a child would come to us that lived in the district that we would need to educate, we're talking about another $30,000 to $40,000 a year per child for services surrounding educating that child who's autistic. And a lot of that burden, truthfully, is borne by the family. So to the extent that we're capable of helping families with children who are autistic, we need to do that. My approach is different from the governor's. My approach wouldn't mandate insurance companies cover it. My approach would be to give tax-free dollars to parents so that they're in a position to control what that treatment looks like. Whenever you're doing mandates, Joy, with this insurance stuff, there's restrictions inside of it because the insurance company then is in control of what they're going to offer that child. What I would prefer is to put the parents in the driver's seat because they're the best ones that know how to treat that child's illness.
Yeah. I hope, Senator Canavas, you might be able to stay with us for another few minutes. We're still trying to get Russ Decker on the line. Sure. And when we do, we will bring in the Senate Majority Leader talking about the state of the state, Governor Doyle delivering his State of the State address last night to the state legislature. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 9 o'clock, Ann Strain Champs in for Kathleen Dunn. According to Ann's guest, the debt Americans continue to pile up is the byproduct of our turbocharged economy. Says our social and technological trends encourage spending and undermine self-control. Why Americans can't hold on to their money. The topic after 9 o'clock. We're talking about our money in a certain sense and the state of Wisconsin this hour, getting a reaction from a variety of guests about the address last night by Governor Doyle, where Governor Doyle said challenges are ahead, challenging days are ahead that will require deep cuts and hard sacrifices. But he outlined a plan last night of some targeted tax breaks and a new health insurance pool for small businesses, all designed to blunt effects that a national economic downturn will have on Wisconsin. Talking about the other policy initiatives the governor announced last night and welcoming your questions and your assessment of the state of the state. And maybe your questions for our guest. Ted Canavas is with us, Republican State Senator from Brookfield. We had scheduled Russ Decker, the Democratic State Senator from Weston, who is the Senate Majority Leader, to join us at this time, but for whatever reason, we're having a little bit of difficulty getting a hold of him on the telephone. So we will continue on with our guest, Ted Canavas, and our next caller, Liz Inslinger. Hi, Liz. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks. I'll say a couple of things, and then I'll take the comments off the air. But I think there's so many things that could be done to encourage people to stay in the state of Wisconsin. And I know many people considering retirement, they're thinking about going to other states. And I don't understand why we don't try to do incentives to keep them here. And why don't we get the schools off the property tax? And why didn't the lottery do that? And one other thing, there's a program to help seniors pay their real estate taxes when they're in a pinch. And my mom is. And the level to qualify, you practically have to be at the poverty level. And I think this is a government program they did to help seniors, and it's really not by eliminating them. And the interest rate in the program is way too high, too. I think it's like 8%. And my mom would love to stay in her own home and afford her lifestyle. So I really think they could really help. And thank you for your time.
Liz has a lot to say about property taxes, Senator Canavas.
Yeah, Liz is... is well-versed in what's happening here. And I'll tell you what, she's dead right. We have to do everything we can to try to create a different environment where property taxes are dropped to the point where citizens can stay here. We spoke about it earlier, Joy, you know, this idea that we can somehow modify the property tax so that, you know, I'm not convinced we want to take the schools off the property tax, but I think we want to look at some of the other kind of municipal services and saying, you know, what pieces of this should be on the property tax and which pieces could potentially be funded through other sources. If we drop property taxes 20%, we'd be a lot more competitive as compared to other states. And, And I believe very strongly this should be one of our policy objectives going forward, is finding a property tax mix that reduces the total burden on individual homeowners, because it's just way too heavy, and we've tipped all of our funding models towards things that truthfully don't incent our ability to grow the private economy, and that's what that's where the answers lie for Wisconsin long term.
Yeah. I'm not sure we're going to be able to locate Russ Decker, so let me play a comment that he gave to our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, last night.
Well, there's not a politician in the state of Wisconsin doesn't want to be for some tax breaks. I have to be straightforward and say if they're job creators, I think we will look at them, you know. But we also need what the impact is going to be to the bottom line.
All right, so if they're job creators, Russ Decker is for them, and he thinks the Senate will be for them, but what will they do to the bottom line, the various tax breaks and incentives, Ted Canevas?
Well, I think the short-term effect of these tax cuts would be, you know, less than $20 million, truthfully, and which is not a significant amount of money, but what the benefits are extraordinary long-term and short-term, as we said, Joy. You know, companies are making decisions today, and they're saying, do we want to be here long-term? So if that's Russ's test for whether or not we're going to take these bills up and pass them, then these bills pass, and they pass easily, because what's going to happen is that the companies that they affect, instead of moving out, instead of stopping their expansions and stopping their, you know, their kind of strategic planning around staying in Wisconsin, these bills will help them kind of get over the top.
Mm-hmm. Here's what the governor had to say about renewable energy, and I'll get Senator Canevas to react in just a moment.
Over the next 10 years, Wisconsin will invest $150 million to help our businesses, our farmers, our foresters, and our manufacturers produce and promote renewable energy. Our strong manufacturing base and rich agricultural industries, along with the wealth of resources in our vast northern forests and our world-leading research universities, position Wisconsin to become the Saudi Arabia of renewable energy.
Wow, are we going to become the Saudi Arabia of renewable energy?
I'm not convinced we want to be the Saudi Arabia of anything, but I think what we should do is continue to push this idea of using this kind of biomass technology to create renewable fuel. I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's some, you know, there's positives and negatives to ethanol, but I don't see as many negatives surrounding using timber products as the raw material to produce renewable fuel. So if we're going to be producing a lot of this biodiesel kind of product over the next 10, 15 years, I think it's good for Wisconsin, and I think it's great for the country.
Yeah. An email from Heather in Middleton, we'll get this one in, that your guest failed to mention that it was a third-party contractor who released the Social Security numbers, not the state itself.
No, which, I know that.
Yeah, which says we need to be more careful about contracting out state services to private parties.
Well, we need to be more careful with the way we manage personal information, whether it's through the state of Wisconsin, where we've had breaches with state employees, and where we've had contractors involved. I mean, there's no question that we have a responsibility to manage that information. We don't ever hand off that responsibility to someone else, and that is going to be persistent throughout all of the administration, and the administration has to take responsibility, period.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if you want to talk a little bit about the deep cuts and sacrifices that might have to happen that the governor hinted at the beginning of the State of the State.
Well, I think the governor is going to have to come forward with a plan to balance his budget. And keep in mind, Joy, we've got short-term problems relating to the fact that we're not growing fast enough. When we built the budget, it was predicated on 3% annual growth. We're going to grow about 1% this year. So we're looking at a shortfall in the $200 to $400 million range, depending on how you count the money. The second piece is that long-term, I believe the governor is going to lose a lawsuit around the Patients' Compensation Fund. So over the course of the next 3 years, there's going to be an additional amount of money that's going to be required to pay back that fund. And those two things in combination are going to kind of take this problem and escalate it into a $507 million problem. we don't have that kind of money lying around. And the reason is because we spend too much on a daily basis in Madison, and we haven't been able to show the kind of discipline necessary, like we do in our own private budgets, to really, in a disciplined way, think about what priorities are, establish those priorities, and fund them appropriately. And this administration needs to take advantage of this opportunity to get our financial house in order. And I'm completely supportive of any efforts to do that. But if he comes back and says we need to use more debt to finance ongoing obligations, I'm not going to support that.
Yeah. Would there be, does it look like we're talking about, I don't know, state employee layoffs, of stopping of certain vital services in any way?
I don't know. I mean, and the reason I say that is because I have no idea what the governor has on his mind about, mm-hmm. you know, putting this thing together. But again, he has to propose some solutions that are going to be meaningful. I'm going to assume, based on his past practices, that they're going to be short-term solutions, that there's not going to be any kind of structural things that happen that will help us kind of in a long-term build budgets that are more resilient and reliable. So I hope that he does that, but I don't anticipate that happening.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't tackled big stuff here in this administration, Joy. We haven't tackled big stuff like, you know, improving Milwaukee's public schools. We haven't tackled, you know, making the government more accountable. We haven't tackled making the government more on the side of common everyday taxpayers. And because of that, you know, we're in the situation we sit in today.
Yeah. Well, just tell me in our final moment here, what you hope will pass the state legislature based on the governor's state of the state or from the governor's state of the state?
Well, actually, I hope a bulk of his speech passes, and I hope a bulk of what he described in the state of the state, I believe, is right on with what we need to do. I think, you know, obviously an expansion of the angel tax credits needs to happen. We've had great success. 72 companies in the first 18 months have now accumulated these credits and are growing businesses in Wisconsin that wouldn't have grown had it not been for that program. Our capital gains reinvestment is huge for Wisconsin's ongoing businesses, as well as the R&D tax credit, which says, you know, if you're going to, you know, put money into your company, we're going to give you a tax benefit for that because you're saying we're staying here. And that's really important. And I think everyday businesses in Wisconsin, the people that employ all of the folks that we need to have jobs and create value here, you know, really appreciate that and need that in order to say, look, you know, we're staying home.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us and staying longer than anticipated.
My pleasure, Joy. Anytime.
Ted Kanivas, Republican State Senator from Brookfield, talking with us about last night's State of the State address from Governor Doyle. We also heard earlier in the hour from Jack Fisher, Wisconsin's Secretary of Commerce. Couldn't find Russ Decker, the Senate Majority Leader. We'll have to check in with him later. Thank you for listening and for calling in. Thanks very much to Leo Duran, who produced all these guests this morning, and to Sean Johnson, who provided the audio that you heard from the speech. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.